Everybody, Shalom Aleichem. The Yom Tov of Purim is part of the series of Yom Tovim that were instituted midrabbanan during the period of the Bayis Sheni. According to all the sources in the Gemara, the Nes Purim occurred towards the end of the 70 years of Golas Bavel before the Bayis Sheni was completed. But Bizman Bayis Sheni, the Chachamim introduced quite a few Yom Tovim, and they're all referred to as Megillas Tainis. Rashi writes on Masechet Shabbos, why is it called Megillas Tainis? It starts this in year 7, goes in order of the months, and it lists off all the Yom Tovim with the historical background, a brief sketch, historical background of each one of the Yom Tovim. And the Gemara states in the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, there's a whole sugya there about Megillas Tainis, that in Tzara Shove, the common denominator of all the Yom Tovim on Megillas Tainis is that they all revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. There is a din in the Chumash. The Ramban counts it as one of the 613 mitzvahs that whenever you complete the building of a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. It didn't happen so many times in the history of the world. When Moshe Rabbeinu completed the Asiyas HaMishkan, so they celebrated. When Shlomo HaMelech completed the Bayis Rishon, there was a big celebration. When Ezra completed the Bayis Sheni, and Lo Silova, it says in the end of Yecheskel, that there'll be a very big celebration starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. It doesn't say what year, but starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan until after Sukkot. That's 6.5 months. There'll be a celebration. Extra karbonos will be brought over and above the regular tmidim and mesafim that you bring every day. Extra karbonos will be brought to cover the Chanukah Zabayis HaShlishi. So that's a pasuk in Chumash, and the Ramban counts it as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Ramban on Chumash, Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs, and says that one of the mitzvahs l'dairis. Some of the Achrayim, the Tshuva Sefer Galya Masechta, Rab David el Navardike, he was during the period of Rab Chaim Volozhiner. He writes, and he has very strong Tshuvas, so he writes in his Tshuvas, according to some Rishayim, that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and Kedushas Beis HaMedrash is the Raisa. So whenever you complete building a shul, or you complete building a yeshiva, Beis Medrash, there's a mitzvah in HaTorah to celebrate the Chanukah's advice, like a Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk in Yecheskel refers to the Batik and the Sias, who bought him in Rosh Hashanah Bavel as a Mikdash Meyat. So he thinks that the mitzvah in HaTorah of the Ramban, whenever you complete the building of Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate, could even apply in HaTorah to Batik and Sias, who bought him in Rosh Hashanah. Why do we refer to it as Megillas Tainis? So Rashi explains in his commentary on Gemara Shabbos, Masechet Shabbos, because at the time that the Torah Shebaal Peh was still being transmitted Baal Peh, before the Mishnayos was written down, before the Gemara was written, way before the Gemara was written down, Megillas Tainis was already Biksav. It was already written down. Every so often has a din in Megillas Tainis. Basically, it just has little history and lists off all the Yom Tovim. But that's why it's called Megillas Tainis. It was one of the first things, either the first, the one who, the Radal, who put out the Pirkei de Reb Lezer, with his commentary, he writes, he's not sure which was written down first. The Pirkei de Reb Lezer was very early. Was that written down before the Mishnayos first, or was the Megillas Tainis written down first? So the Gemara says, Atadashaga, all the common denominator of all the Yom Tovim, Megillas Tainis is, they all commemorate improvements in the Beis HaMikdash, either improvements in the structure of the Beis HaMikdash or improvements in the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash. There were periods of time in the Bayis Sheni that the Tzedukim were running the show, and they were bringing the Korbanos not in accordance with the traditions of the Torah Shebaal Peh. We weren't Yotze, all the Korbanos were Pasul at that time. So when the Hashmonoim, when they kicked out these Tzedukim, they straightened everything out and made every other matik and donishtik was a yontif of Megillas Tainus. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, has two tshuvas, where he discusses observance of Lag BaOmer. So the fact that all over the world we delete Tachnun on Lag BaOmer, this didn't pose a problem by the Chasam Sofer. There's a big machlekes with the reciting of Tachnun after Shachris and Mincha is a choiva or optional or reshus. The Rambam's opinion is that it's a choiva, and we haven't accepted the Rambam. We follow the Geonim that the reciting of Tachnun is a reshus. That's why every so often we don't really have a good reason to delete Tachnun, like Boimer, or to Bishvat is not a holiday that we should leave out like Vayimah. There's no mitzvah of Simcha on Tu Bishvat. By Chassidim, they leave out on Zayin Adar, and they leave out on Erev Zayortzah. They leave out a lot of times because we follow the Gaon, and the reciting of Tachnun is really optional. It's not a chayvah, so nish gefelach if you leave it out. So this didn't bother the Chasam Sofer that all over the world they leave out Tachnun unlike Vayimah. What bothered him was he heard that in Meiron they give chalaka, they give haircuts to the little children on Lag BaOmer, and they have dancing and singing and bonfires, and they make it like a whole yantif. So this raises an issue. He quotes the Pri Chodosh on Arachayim that one is not permitted to celebrate a yantif in over and above the Amitav Min HaChumash. You're not allowed to make an additional yontif unless it conforms to the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainus. Namely, it has to have something to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara in Etzugi and Rosh Hashanah, Randaf Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, the Gemara talks a whole block Gemara about Megillas Tainus. The Gemara says there was a big machlokes. All the Amitavim and Megillas Tainus had to do with the Baisheni. Mm-hmm. Whenever the Hashanon were victorious in battle, they would make a Yontif because there was a Beis HaMikdash. And if they would have lost the war, they would have lost the battle, the Beis HaMikdash might have been destroyed, so they defended it from destruction, or they defended it from being used for Avodah Zarah purposes. So that made sense that they celebrated Yom Tov. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara had a big machlokes, did we still celebrate those Yom Tovim or not? So the Gemara says, but if something new, some new Yeshua occurs now, it does make sense to make a Yom Tov because there's nothing to do. There is no Beis HaMikdash. There is no Beis HaMikdash now. So the Pri Chodesh understood in that Gemara that it's an Issa Bal Tosif. If you make a yontif midrabbanan that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, that's an extension of the din deraisa. In our Torah, the Ramban only said there's a mitzvah to celebrate on the occasion of completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But defending the Beis HaMikdash from defilement, or defending it from destruction, or improving the structure, improving the institution of the Sanhedrin or the Kohen Gadol, the various institutions of the Beis HaMikdash, that's kiyum deraisa. So that's not an issue about tosef. But the problem is that according to all the traditions in the Gemara, all the Agadotis, the story of Purim occurred before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. The Gemara says it was 2 or 3 years before the end of the 7 years of Olas Bavel. So that's what the Sfas Emes and the Nesivos has a commentary on. Megillah says that it's called Megillah Storim. It's printed in the regular Mikros Gedolos. The Sivus always has something intelligent to contribute. So they raise the issue, how do they have the right in the first place to establish a Yontif of Purim if there was no Beis HaMikdash? So it doesn't conform to, it's like Boimer, that the Chasam Sofer wrote, if they listen to me, I will do away with the whole observance of Lag BaOmer in Meiron, because it has nothing to do with Beis HaMikdash, and it should be a violation of Bal Tosif. So this is the issue that they raise. So the Mefarshim say they felt that this was going to lead to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Somehow the Chachmei HaDor saw through there was a great tragedy. Esther was a tzaddikess, and she was living with the Goy. She was living with the Nochri, Achashverosh. And then she had a son, Artaxasta. She probably had many children from Achashverosh. But one of them was Artaxasta. He took over the government after the father died. And that was a tragedy. A nice, fine Jewish girl living with a Goy for so many years. And then she has a son who has no Torah education whatsoever. And he takes over the government. So that was a tragedy. But nonetheless, the Chachamim felt somehow this is going to lead to the building of the next place. I mean, in what way did they think it's going to lead? So there are different suggestions. So the Nesivus, in his commentary, Megillah Storim, it's entitled, in his commentary, he thinks that because Haman was an Amaleki, that's how it says in the Megillah, Haman Amaleki, and the Gemara says that there are three, the Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Chof and Beis, and the Rambam Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and Hilchas Melochim writes, quotes that Gemara, that the Gimel Mitzvahs and Stabi Yisod Bichnisosim La'aretz, when the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in a specific order. The order was first Lahamed Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael. Then that Jewish government has to have a standing army to protect the citizens. That army has to wipe out Amalek, Lahachris, Zarashal Amalek, and then when it will be fully peaceful, totally peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, and there won't be any terrorists, then Livnas Lahem Beis HaBchira. Then you have, after wiping out Amalek, then there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Nesivus says that they felt that maybe the Nes Purim is going to lead to the building of the Bayis Sheni because they killed the Amaleki. Because they killed Haman HaGogi, Haman HaAmaleki, and his chevra. That's his suggestion. The Malbim, on the beginning of Nehemiah, has in our the Tanakhs that we use are unfortunately all divided by the Christians into chapters, into books. You have Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, and Melachim Aleph and Melachim Beis. In Tanakh, Melachim Aleph and Melachim Beis is one sefer. And Ezra Nehemiah is one sefer, it's not two svarim. But in the Christian Bible, Ezra Nehemiah are two books, Melachim Aleph and Melachim Beis are two books. And all the Marmakaitmas and the Gemara in the Torah, or whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tanakh, they always tell you where it is in Tanakh. And the chapters are the Christian chapters. We're going to have to dig up somewhere what the Jewish chapters were and rewrite all the Marmakaitmas of Pesukim and Tanakh and all the Gemaras and all the Svarim. Everybody's using the Christian Bible. So I'll call upon him, the Malbim in the beginning of Nehemiah comments on the pasuk. Nehemiah was the butler of the king Artaxasta, who was the son of Esther Hamalka from Achashverosh. His father was a Goy, but his mother was Jewish. So that's the halacha. If the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish. And he took over the father's kingdom, Sheva V'yesu M'meh Medina, and Eretz Yisrael was one of the Sheva V'yesu M'meh Medina. The Gemara says the early years in his kingdom, when he still had respect for his mother, his mother told him, I'm Jewish, you're Jewish, we're all Jewish. And Nehemiah was the butler, Hashegel Yoshev Esetzlo. The woman was sitting next to the king. Who is the woman? And doesn't Nehemiah continue to say anything about the woman? What is her role in the story over here? It's unclear. So the Malbim suggests Hashegel Yoshev Esetzlo was his mother Esther Hamalka, and when Nehemiah had a sad face, the king says, Maduah Benach Roim Hayopet. The Goyim are giving the Jews a hard time. They don't let them prepare the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So, in the middle of nowhere, the king agrees to give unlimited funds to Nehemiah. He should send shluchim to Yerushalayim and rebuild the walls and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and everything. Why? Why? Just because Nehemiah has a sad face, and they gave him a report that the Jews in Yerushalayim are suffering from the Goyim, are giving them a hard time. But that's what the Malbim suggests. Hashegel Yeshiva says, it means his mother was there, Esther was there, in the room, and she told him, you're Jewish, you better give money. Chachamim felt, since Esther had her, she was in the Malchus, even though it was a tragedy, she was living with this boy, she was Sakonis Nefashis, she had no choice. Explains why it wasn't Yehar Valyavar. She was doing an Avera Diferes, she lived with the Goy all those years. So it won't explain why it wasn't Yehar Valyavar, but it was Pikoch Nefesh, was Deicha for her. And then the Chachamim felt that since she has a foot in the Malchus, the Talmud shall see to it that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So according to the Malbim, that's exactly what happened at the end. Odish Lama, a third possibility is, why did the Chachamim, what did they see that they thought that this is going to lead to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash? It could be the Chachamim had a tradition based on the Pasuk in Megillas Esther, Kima V'Kiblu. It sounds like the expression of Kabbalah HaTorah. So the Gemara understood that there was a new Kabbalah HaTorah. There was a Maimon HaSinai, they all said Nasa V'Nishma, they were all excited, they accepted Beratzen, but the Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Noach has a long essay. It says they only accepted Torah Shebichtav. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shebichtav doesn't look like it's so complicated to learn, doesn't look like it's so complicated to observe. But then Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, that's not the whole story. There's a Torah Shebaal Peh, and there's a Mishnah Berurah, and there's an Aruch HaShulchan, and there's a Chazanish, there's a Dark Tshuva, and a Pesach Tshuva, and all the Tshuvas, the literature. So much Torah Shebaal Peh. So Bnei Yisrael said, that's too difficult to learn, and it's too difficult to observe, too detailed. So that was Kaf Aleihem Hay. Forced the Torah Shebaal Peh on them. And they said, Me'avas Hanes, Rashi says. They were so appreciative that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a Yeshua from this tzara with Haman, that they were Mekabel the Torah Shebaal Peh Berotzen at that time. So the Navi Yirmiyah prophesied this in advance. The Navi Yirmiyah has a nevuah. He says, I gave you the Torah Har Sinai. I told you to observe Shiluach Avodim, to set the Eved Ivri free after 6 years, to observe all the other dinim. You violated all of the dinim, bin al Mamokam, bin al Machaveris. I had to take away the Beis HaMikdash, and to send all the Jews in the Golos. He will only return back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. B'charati itchem bris chadasha. I'll have to make a new krisis bris. And this time you won't be able to shake it off. This time the bris will be k'suva lipchem. It will be engraved on your hearts. So that seems to be referring to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebichtav is written on parchment in something separate from the person's body. So he can throw away the Torah Shebichtav. But Torah Shebaal Peh is engraved on your heart. The klaf is the person's heart. So the Navi says, "Ratchan bris chadasha, I'm going to give a new krisis bris with the Jewish people, and that will enable them to come back to Eretz Yisrael the second time and to build the second Beis HaMikdash." So perhaps that's the bris. That was the krisis bris of the Kimlu v'Kiblu, Kabbalas HaTorah Shebaal Peh, and perhaps that was an allusion to the bris Amana. In the book of Nehemiah, it says that the representatives of the 12 Shvatim signed the document in the Beis HaMikdash and the Azara, representing all of the Shvatim, that they're going to observe all the Dinim and the Torah. So that's called the Bris Amona. So the Bris, either the Bris, maybe both together, increases Bris of Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh on the occasion of Nes Purim, and then the Bris Amona that they signed representing all the Shvatim. That was the Bris HaChadosha that the Jewish people entered into. It's on the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Catholics refer to their New Testament as the Bris HaChadosha. They interpret that that's what was given. The Navi Yirmiyahu is referring to the Gospels, but our tradition has it. It's referring to the Krisis Bris. that they entered into on the occasion of Nespur. Of Soloveitchik once gave a yahrzeit to Russia. He was discussing the difference between Tashmishi Kedusha and Tashmishi Mitzvah. Tashmishi Mitzvah, we're learning the Gemara in B'nei Ho'ir, in the last parak in Maseches Megillah. So the Gemara says, if you have an esrog, it's hooked to the mitzvah. If you have a sukkah, it's hooked to the mitzvah. Shofar, a lulav, calls man mitzvah. Talis, hooked to the mitzvah, calls man a mitzvah. After it's no longer useful for the mitzvah, no longer hooked to the mitzvah side, and it's tashmishi mitzvah and nizrokim. You have a right to throw it out in the garbage. But tashmishi gedusha nignazim. You have to have a third tefillin and mezuzah, even after it's so puzzled that you can't correct it, you can't use it anymore for the mitzvah, it retains the gedusha, and you can't throw it out in the garbage. You have to treat it with dignity and respect. You have to put it in shemes. So what counts to, how do the chachamim know how to determine what belongs into the category of Tashmishi Mitzvah, what belongs in the category of Tashmishi Kedusha? So Rav Soloveitchik quoted Rav Chaim Valozhin, and the Shachaim says, in order to have Tashmishi Kedusha, you have to have psukim from Tanakh. And to the extent that you have psukim, to that extent, you're going to have Kedusha. So the mezuzah has two parashas, Shema Bal Yom Shemaya, that is the lowest level of Kedusha. The tefillin have Shema v'yam Shemaya Kadesh v'yokil Yachov, so has slightly more kedusha. The shalrosh has two shins, one or two shins on the outside of the shalrosh, over and above the shalyad. Shalyad only has the dalad parshias. Shalrosh, in addition to the dalad parshias, has the shin. So because of that, the Gemara says shalrosh has slightly more kedusha than the shalyad. The Sefer Torah has the dalad parshias plus many more shins, as much more. So the Sefer Torah has the highest level of Kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik was discussing all the other inyanei Kedusha. So what is the source of Kedusha Yisrael? Every Jewish person has Kedusha Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik thought that there's an agadate in Maseches Nida that the Malach teaches every Jewish baby called a Torah Kulo before he's born. Then he makes him forget it, but even though he forgets it, he doesn't make him forget everything. Something remains behind. So that's the source of Kedusha Yisrael. The Malach teaches the baby called Torah Kula. What's the source of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Soloveitchik said, well, what was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around, in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun? The conquest, Shevesh HaKavshu v'Shevesh HaChilku. The Chalukas HaOretz was the Gemara of the Kibush. But the Kibush was the Mekadosh. So who, is Rav Soloveitchik screamed out in the auditorium, in the Lampel Auditorium, who did the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael? So everybody said, the army of Yeshua Ben Nun. He said, no, it says in Sefer Yeshua, the Aron HaBris. Aron HaBris was Noseh Lefneim and had the Shiva Luchas in it. So the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around, in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, that's called Kedusha Rishayna. Kedusha Rishayna was created through the Kibush that was accomplished by the Aron HaBris, by the Luchas HaBris. So that's the source of all in Yoni Kedusha is Torah Shebichsav. What about the second time around? The Rambam said, the second time around, the Kedusha source was butler during the 70 years of Golas Babel, and then it was reinstituted when Ezra and Nehemiah came back. So the Rambam says there was no Kibush then, so the Mekadosh was Chazokah. What means Chazokah? The Jewish people moved in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean Chazokah? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe what it means was that the Kedusha Rishayna was created by Kibush that was accomplished through Torah Shebichsav. The Luchas, the Shiva Luchas is Torah Shebichsav. And the Kedusha Shniyah was accomplished perhaps through the fact that Yisrael accepted the Torah Shabbat Pe'evirotzen. And he suggested maybe he didn't know exactly how that fits in with the word Chazok and the Rambam, but he would maybe suggesting on his own that different shot, not Chazok, but maybe both Kedusha Rishon and Kedusha Shniyah were accomplished through Torah, because otherwise it's Tashmishi Mitzvah, it's not Tashmishi Kedusha. We assume Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. And the Rav Chaim Valozhin assumes all Inyanei Kedusha have to be based on Torah. Either Psukim from Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebaal Peh, something. So maybe the Kedusha in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun was accomplished through the Kibush, and the Kibush was done with the Koyach of the Oren Abris, with the Shivei Luchas. And the Kedusha Shniyah in the days of Ezra was accomplished because they accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh. Maybe that's the reason why the Kedusha Shniyah is more lasting. It wasn't Batla, because Torah Shabbat Peh belongs to the world of ideas, so it doesn't lend itself to destruction. Torah Shebichsav is a tangible thing, so you can destroy Torah Shebichsav, so you won't have it left. But Torah Shabbat Peh belongs to the world of ideas. It doesn't lend itself to destruction. That was the suggestion. Maybe that's why the Kedusha Shniyah was Kitcha Losi Lovai. It was never bottled, even though the Romans destroyed the second Beis Hamikdash, they took over the whole country, Eretz Yisrael. We assume the Kedusha Shniyah was Loi bottled. So these were the three possibilities. The Achrayim raised the issue, how do they have the right to establish the Yom Tov Purim in the first place? If the Nes Purim occurred, according to all the Gemaras, the Nes Purim occurred towards the end of the 7 years of Olas Babel, they didn't have any Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says that you can't institute a new Yom Tov Bizman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kain. All the Yom Tov Megillas Tanis have to have something to do with a Beis Hamikdash. So that's what the Achronim suggests. They felt this was going to lead to the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. In what way? Either because Esther was the one who convinced her son Artaxasta he should complete the building of the Beis Sheni, or because there was a new Kabbalah Satara that the Nabi Yirmiyah prophesied, that was the Kima Likiblu, or possibly because they wiped out Amalek, and in the list of the mitzvahs, if they wipe out Amalek, it's supposed to be peaceful in Eretz Yisrael, and then he's supposed to build a Beis Hamikdash after that. After they wiped out Amalek, so many things happened since then, it's still not peaceful. Now, it's certainly not peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. You only have a mitzvah to build a Beis Hamikdash when it's absolutely peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. I remember when Rav Soloveitchik delivered his talk, Kol Dodi Dofek. That was a few years after Hakamas HaMedina. It was on Yom HaAtzmaut. So he wrote up that drasha that he delivered, but in the printed text he left out one paragraph. When he delivered it, Baal Peh, he added on a little bit. So he added on something very interesting. In the course of the calendar year, we have a lot of Yamim Tovim, and when we do frolicking, and we have a lot of Simcha, and the Minig Yisrael has it that we want to tone down the Simcha and Yom Tov with a little Cheshbon HaNefesh in advance, make sure that we don't get carried away with too much Simcha. So he said, Pesach is a Yom Tov Zman Chavisein, we celebrate to take out all the best silverware and all the best dishes and everything, but we want to tone it down a little bit, so you have Tainis Becharis. Now, when the Minig developed over years, now nobody fasts on Tainis Becharis, everybody goes to Sim. So the minig is that you go to Zim, there is no minig anymore to fast. But the minig used to be that that people fast on Erev Pesach to tone down the Pesach a little bit. Then before Shavuos is a time of Simcha, so we have the whole period of Sfira. That's in a certain sense Avelis, and it's serious. Tone down the Simcha on Shavuos. Then you have a Purim, so you have Tainis Esther and Erev Purim to tone down a little bit the frolicking on Purim. Then you have Rosh Hashanah, so you have Slichas. Everybody fasts on the first day Slichas, Erev Rosh Hashanah. People fast half a day. Some people fast every day of Slichas before. Then you have Sukkot, so right before Sukkot, Yom Kippur. You always have a serious tonus or a serious observance before the days of Simcha to make sure that the Simcha doesn't get out of hand. So Russell Leitchik mentioned, this is a few years after Hakamas HaMedina, the early years in the early 1950s. At that time, some of the Rabbanim were permitting people to get married on Yom HaAtzmaut, even though it's in the middle of Sfira, and they were permitting people to take haircuts and dancing and singing and music and everything. So at that time, Rav Soloveitchik said, he doesn't know if that's necessary to violate the Minhagim of Sfira to emphasize that we have a Medina. He said the Minhag of Sfira fits in with this idea all year long, that whenever there's a day of Simcha, you have in advance a period of Cheshbon HaNefesh. So he said he thought that we should observe Yom HaAtzmaut in such a way that we shouldn't violate. That was his suggestion. shouldn't have to violate the minhagim asira. It's a beautiful idea. So he pointed out that here, when he gave shiur on Purim, he pointed out the Shulchan Aruch, it says you have to have a tziruf between Tainus Esther and Mikra Megillah. You're not allowed to eat, even though the Tainus Esther is over at Eisah Kochavim, or even Beit HaShemashis, you should be allowed to eat. The Gemara says you're not allowed to eat Beit HaShemashis of Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Beit HaShemashis of the other Tanaisim, you are permitted to eat. So some understood that the reason why Beit HaShemashis of Yom Kippur, the Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra, that we understand. What about Tisha B'Av? So the Taz understood that Beit HaShemashis of Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat because fasting on Tisha B'Av is Medivri Kabbalah. The Navi said we have to fast on Tisha B'Av. Divrei Kabbalah, the Gemara has an expression, Divrei Kabbalah, ki Divrei Torah Damyan. So just like he says, Sveika Deraisa L'Chumra, so Sofik Divrei Kabbalah is also L'Chumra. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim like that. If the person is not sure if he missed the word in the Megillah, then he should be Machmir, because maybe Mikra Megillah has the status of Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah means a Din D'Rabbanan that's recorded in Tanakh. That's recorded in the Vim Uksufim. It's called Divrei Kabbalah. And the Gemara has a lotion, Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah Damyan. So just like Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra, Sofik Divrei Kabbalah L'Chumra. So that's how the Taz understood. The fasting on Tisha B'Av Zman Hazeh is Medivrei Kabbalah. The Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. He says that Taz was a very poor man. He hardly had any svarim. And he says the Rashban, Rosh Hashanah, wasn't printed yet at that time. So he certainly wouldn't have a Rashba Ksav Yad. He could barely afford, he didn't have such a big library to begin with. He couldn't afford to have a lot of svarim. So he says the Taz wasn't aware of the Rashba. The Rashba points out that the fact that the other Tanaisim, Asur B'Tevitzam, Gedal Shivasa B'Tamiz, really depends on Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. It should be optional Bizman Hazeh. And we say the Bahag says, Kashav Yualai Chai, but we don't treat it optional. Masha'ini came Tisha B'Av, you have to fast. It's not optional. So the Taz understood that that's Medivrei Kabbalah, you have to fast. So the Rashba says it's not correct. That's only Midirabbanan. That's only Midirabbanan. So why aren't you allowed to eat during Beit HaShemashis? Sofik Derabbanan L'Kula. So the Avdei Nezer explains why. He says, Tisha B'Av, you fast 24 hours. You have to judge on two Beit HaShemashis. Beit HaShemashis of Leil Tisha B'Av and Leil Matzoi Tisha B'Av. So if you be Mekal on one, then you have to be Machma on the other one. If the first Beit HaShemashis of Leil Tisha B'Av is Yom, you're allowed to eat, then you have to be Machma on the Beit HaShemashis at the end of Tisha B'Av. And if you want to be Mekal on the Beit HaShemashis at the end of Tisha B'Av, because of Dina Kelaila, then you have to be Machma on the first Beit HaShemashis. So it'll be a tie to this Hashem. So you can't just pick arbitrarily a Mekal on this one, Machma on the other one. So since you have no right to pick arbitrarily one Beit HaShemashis to be Mekel, so you have to be Machma both for the Beit HaShemashis. But by the other Taneisim, sorry, B'Tevisam, Gedal, Shavasa, B'Tamas, you don't fast 24 hours. Only one Beit HaShemashis to talk of. Beit HaShemashis of Sofayom. So that's Tzveika D'Rabbanan L'Kula. It's not the Rikabola. Tisha B'Av is also not the Rikabola. Yom Kippur is Sofik D'Raisa L'Chomer. So you're not allowed to eat Beit HaShemashis. So really, Tainus Esther should be over at Beit HaShemashis. It should be allowed to eat Beit HaShemashis before Mikra Megillah. So Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to eat before you hear the Megillah. You have to have a connection between the Tonis and the Mitzvahs on Purim. Very surprising. And if a person is starving and it's difficult for him to fast, so in Shulchan Aruch they're prepared to be Mekel rather than to be Mekel to eat a meal. See? Eat something before you read the Megillah. It says, no, we would be Mekel, Mechavi says, to read the Megillah after Flaga Mincha, when the sun is still shining, the last hour and a quarter before the end of Tainus Esther, you can be Mekel. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that Pri Chodesh often disagrees with the Mechavi. He often disagrees. Here also he disagrees. So what do you mean? We're Mekel to Dabi Meiriv. The Gemara says, David Kemar Ravid. David in Mincha Marav is all the Rabbanans. So we treat it like a Sveika de Rabbana Lakula, whether the din is like Rabbi Yudah, that you can only daven Mincha till Plaga Mincha, you can already daven Marav after Plaga Mincha, less than 1 1/4 of the day. Well, no, you can daven Mincha till the Shkia, and you can only daven Marav after. The Gemara says, David Kemar. If you want to follow Rabbi Yudah, you can follow Rabbi Yudah, you can daven Marav after Plaga Mincha. But even on Nikra Megillah also, so the Prechodesh is stunned by that. He says he doesn't accept the Psaka of the Mechaber. But we say in such a case, the person should have, Mogan Avram says, Te'ima would be mut. He shouldn't eat a whole meal, but we would be makel that he can have a little snack. But the Shulchan Aruch is pushing, that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, Shulchan Aruch is pushing, he should have a connection between the Tainus Esther and the observance of Purim by Mikra Megillah. You shouldn't eat in between. You should fast the Tanis until you read the Megillah. That's how Rav Soloveitchik thought all year long we have such a practice, to have a connection between the day of Cheshbon HaNefesh, the Tanis, and the day of Simcha that follows. The Gemara talks about the practice that we have Kriyas HaTorah, the Chachamim instituted Kriyas HaTorah on the Tainus Tzibur. So the Gemara makes it very clear they only had Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha in the afternoon. They didn't have on the Tainus. They didn't have Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. Unless it happens to be Sheni V'Chamishi, so you learn the Parsha Soshavua. But the practice that you learn by Tal in the morning, that was, even if it's not Sheni V'Chamishi, that was introduced in the days of the Geonim. So that's why we only lay in Vaychal, and we have a Haftarah, Yushal Shem Dehi Matzah, that's by Mincha in the afternoon. That's Medina de Gemara. In the morning, it's a day of Kriyas HaTorah, so we can even lay in Kriyas HaTorah extra. We lay in Kriyas HaTorah in the morning without the Haftarah, and then in the afternoon by Mincha, we lay in with the Haftarah. So that's that was only introduced Bizman HaGoinim. It's interesting, Rabbi Kivega writes in one place, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, Rabbi Kivega writes in one place, the old practice used to be that after Shlishi, on the Tainus Tzibur by Mincha, the practice used to be they said Chatzi Kaddish, like on Shabbos and Yom Tov in the morning. When you learn Kriyas HaTorah, then you say Chatzi Kaddish after the last Aliyah, and then you have Maftir. So here also, the practice used to be that they used to recite Chatzi Kaddish. Rabbi Kivega writes, he abolished the reciting of the Chatzi Kaddish based on the Mogen Avram. It says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a Matfoikas HaMoroim at the Gemara, where the Maftir Oyle L'minyan HaKruim Anah, let's say Shabbos, you have to have 7 Aliyahs. And then you have to have Maftir. So the 7th Aliyah says Maftir, and you have 6 aliyahs and the 6 aliyahs, and the 7th aliyah is maftir. Or do you say no? You have to have 7 aliyahs and the parashas hashavua. Then, in addition to that, you have the maftir is another aliyah. So mikra din we paskin maftir is oil. There's a makleg zavishanim how we paskin. So mikra din we paskin maftir is oil. The mi akruin. So on a tiny sibur that you don't make any hasafis. On Shabbos you can make hoysofet. Mikra din on Yom Tov also you can make hoysofet. But on the Tainus Tzibur you can't make any hoysofet. So the maftir is the 3rd aliyah. So that shows that we paskin maftir is ola l'minyan akruin. On Shabbos and Yom Tov when you're permitted to make hoysofet, so Tosfos quotes Rabbi Tam, why not make hoysofet and satisfy both opinions in the Gemara? There was one opinion that the maftir should be in addition to the 7 aliyahs. So on the day that you're allowed to make hoysofes, so make hoysofes, that's what we do. Every Shabbos every year, make hoysofes. So the Magen Avraham says, let's say we were late in Kriyas HaTorah, and we found a mistake in the Sefer Torah by Shvi. And the mistake was mamish in the very end. Once happened in the Yeshiva, on Shabbos Parshas Vayikra, they found a blatant mistake, I think an aleph instead of an ayin, the wrong letter. The Rambam says it's possible. So they found a mistake. So they had told someone else, they're going to give, the Gabbai told someone else to prepare the Haftarah, he's going to get the Maftir. But then they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So the Magen Avraham says, if you find a mistake in Shvi, and you finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah, you don't take out a separate Sefer Torah in order to make a Hoysofa. You let the Shvid be the Maftir, because Mikra then we pass from Maftir is Oil Elimin Yenakruin. The Maftir is the seventh Aliyah. So the Magen Avraham says in such a case that the Shvi is going to be saying the Haftorah, so he says you shouldn't say Chatzi Kaddish in between. We always say Chatzi Kaddish after the last Aliyah, after Shvi or his office, whatever, and then the next one who gets Maftir is going to lane Maftir from the Sefer, they're going to lane from the Sefer Torah, then he's going to have say the Haftorah from the Novi. So the Gemara says, "I'm after the Novit Zorch Sheikra Batora Tchila." The Magen Avraham understands the word Tchila means it should be immediately before. You shouldn't have a Hafsoka between the Kriyas HaTorah of the Maftir and the Haftorah. You want everybody to see if he's not going to lane from the Sefer Torah first, people will have the mistaken impression that laning from the Novi is equally important to laning from the Sefer Torah. It's not. Sefer Torah is Teres Moshe. That was directly dictated word for word, letter for letter, min HaShemayim. And then Novi is a lower level. Then Novi is not the same level as Chamish Shulchan Torah. So, Hamafta Banovi, Tzor Shikha Batorah Tchili, has to lane from the Sefer Torah first. So that's what the Magen Avraham says. In this case, the Shvi is going to be the Maftir, so you shouldn't say Chatzi Kaddish in between Shvi'i and the reciting of the Haftorah. You want, it should be Tchila. So, Shikha Batorah Tchila, immediately before the Haftorah, you should name from the Sefer Torah. If you're going to be Mafsik with Chatzi Kaddish, then it won't be Mitzur. So, Rabbi Kevega says the minig always was, all over, that on a Taina Sibah, they would say Chatzi Kaddish after Shlishi, and then the one who got Shlishi would say the Haftorah. So, the Magen Avraham says you shouldn't do that. So, he did away with that practice. He did away with the practice, you don't say the Chatzi Kaddish in between. So now in many shuls, they have a practice the last couple of years, although in Eretz Yisrael, America, many shuls have a practice in between the reading of the Maftir from the Sefer Torah and Haftar from the Navi, the Gabbaim said, Mishaberach for the Chayalim, and Mishaberach the Tefillah the Shlom Hamdina, and they say all kinds of Tefillah for the government in America. They have long hafsokas there. I think that's not right. That's also included in the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, the one who gets maftir should say the haftar right after the laning of the Kriyas HaTorah of the maftir. Shouldn't have a pause in between. We are mafsik with Chatzi Kaddish, or we are mafsik with Tfilas of Shlom Amdina. It's important to have Tfilas Shlom Amdina. Have it either before or after, but not over there. Not to have it in between the Kriyas HaMaftir and the Kriyas HaHaftar. Pashtun says that's not proper. That's not the right place to be saying it. Rav Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmima, was a lady, Baruch HaLevi Epstein, and he wrote an autobiography that's very fascinating called Mikor Baruch, the roots of the family roots. He claims that they were descendants from the Baal HaMor. The family name used to be Ben Beneshti. He claims that Epstein is a corruption of the name Ben Beneshti. So he writes that his father was the author of the Aruch HaShulchan. So his father had a brother who was a Levi. So he says whenever his uncle would get the second Aliyah on the Taina Sibur, he would always have a shtick. The Gemara says, we learned the Gemara in Megillah. Mm-hmm. Every Aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni V'Chamishi and Shabbos afternoon to Mincha has to have a minimum of 3 aliyahs. So if each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and there are 3 aliyahs, so 3 times 3 is 9. So you should have said that the minimum number of psukim in Kriyas HaTorah should be 9. The Gemara says, no, the minimum number of psukim has to be 10. So the Gemara says, whoever gets four psukim is a better, it's a fatter aliyah than three. The Gemara doesn't say if you say five psukim, or ten psukim, or 20 psukim, that's better. No. Since one of the aliyahs has to have four psukim, so an aliyah with four psukim is more chashuv than an aliyah with three psukim. So if you look on the laning vaychal on the Tainis Sibur, we lain vaychal by Mincha on Tainis Esther, so the Levi's aliyah only has three psukim. The Yisrael has many psukim. So he would, when Baruch Epstein's uncle, who was a Levi, sometimes he would get that aliyah, he would refuse to say the Baruch HaShenasan Lano unless the Bakoi would lain another pasuk from the beginning of the next aliyah for him. He's not cheating the next aliyah. He has plenty of psukim anyway. He has way more than four psukim. We're not really cheating him of anything. It's an interesting thing. The way we lain, a lot of times the way we lain, the way we break up the psukim is not really correct. There's no halacha moshe Sinai over here. How you have to break up the psukim. We can use a lot of tikkunim. Should really correct a lot of times. In Shulchan Aruch they quote that the minig that there are four psukim of geula in the Megillah, and the minig is that all the people in the shul say the pasuk before the Balkari says it, and say the pasuk. So the four psukim are Ishu Yirihai B'shusha Birosh, Mamartcha Ben Yor Ben Shibin Bekish. Then Lahirim Ha'isar B'simcha B'sasim Yikor, the last pasuk in the Megillah. Martai Yehudi Yatsa the Ravecha, and another pasuk Martai Yatsa B'lechnei Melech B'lush Tchelis V'chur B'Terezov. So people don't realize that a lot of people think that they instituted the minhag to keep everybody awake and make a Megillah to keep the children's interest. They should know the Klap Haman. That's not it. You look in the Tshuvas HaGa'inim, the Sefer Eshkol quotes from the Tshuvas HaGa'inim that this is part of a minhag all year long. That like on a Tainis Sibur, when they lain by Chal, so everybody says along, and when you finish reading the Gila Secha, you say, we all say together, Hashvein Hashem Alech Mashuga, Chadashimen Kikedem. There's such a meaning all year long. We say along with the Balkar Psukim of Yeshua, Nechama, Slicha, Kapara, Tshuva. So this is part of a bigger minig. It's not a local minig by Mikha Megillah. It's part of a larger minig. In recent years, the Balakriya became very medactic. So there are a few psukim in the Megillah where we're not sure what the correct reading is. Ishlam ad lifneihem or Ishlam ad bifneihem. So the Balakri learns it twice. So I remember once I asked Rav Soloveitchik in the Rishonim, nobody mentions this, that there's a question what the correct reading is. The Or Zeruah has a suffix on the pasuk in the Megillah that says Vayishaneha es naraseha letoiv beit sanoshim. So he quotes a suffix, should it say Vayishaneha es naraseha or Vayishaneha vi es naraseha, with a vav or without a vav? So yes, Rav Soloveitchik, maybe we should learn that pasuk twice, like we lain the psukim lifneihem, bifneihem, and so on. So he said, yeah, you don't have to lain over lifneihem, bifneihem either. The Gemara says, if you made a mistake, that's not mishana es ha'inyan. So it's not miyakev. And this is a sveikus. They just came up with these new sveikus in recent years. Years ago, there were never any sveikus. Yoruz Aruah has this vayishaneha. But the other Rishonim don't mention any sveikus. And lifneim is a modern thing. So he said the whole thing is chumris. Mikradin, if you read it, you're yotzei already. The Gemara has a big machlekes tatanaim. How much of the Megillah do you have to read? You have to have a whole Megillah. Let's say this past Shabbos was Shabbos Pikudei. So you need a whole Sefer Torah. If you have a whole Sefer Shmos, that would also be called Kriya Mitoch Haksav. But if you only have a klap that has Parshas Pikudei, that's like learning from a printed Chumash. That's not called Kriya Mitoch Haksav. That's Kriya Baal Peh. It's only called Kriya Mitoch Haksav if you have a Sefer Sholem. Then the Gemara in Gittin has a Shaila. Is it sufficient in Shul? Is it sufficient to learn from Chumash Shmos? So this coming Shabbos is going to be Parshas Vayikra. is it sufficient to learn from a Chumash Vayikra Sefer Shalem and you also learn Parshas Vayikra, or maybe you have to have all the Chamisha Chumash Torah? So the Gemara says, you should learn from a Sefer Abris. Sefer Abris is all Chamisha Chumash Torah, everything all together. That's Bamdei Kovet HaTzibur, because the Bris was made with the Tzibur. So the Gemara says, when you learn the Megillah, there are different opinions how much you have to read. We follow the opinion you have to learn the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end. But other opinions are no, you don't have to learn. You only have to learn from the Yishiyu, you only have to learn part of the Megillah. But even though you don't have to learn, even according to those opinions in the Tanoim, that there's no requirement to learn the whole Megillah, but you have to have a whole Megillah from the beginning to the end, that it should be kosher to learn the part that you have to learn. Like you have to have a whole Chamish Ulchum Shetar, a Chlaf of the Chamish Ulchum Shetar, and to learn Parshas Vayikra this coming Shabbos. You can't just have a Chlaf of Parshas Vayikra, that's called Kriya Mitpalpeh, that's not called Kriya Mitochaksa. So the Rishonim ask a question, what is that? The Gemara says in Megillas Esther, is Nikrisi Sefer V'Nikrisi Geris. There was a big debate going on for years and years from the Tkufas HaTanoim into the Tkufas HaMoraim. How many Svarim are there in the Tanakh? Remember when I was a little boy growing up in Pennsylvania, there were the European Jews who spoke Yiddish. Survivors from the Holocaust, they spoke Yiddish. They didn't call it Tanakh. They used to call it the Esrim V'Arba, the 24 Svarim in Tanakh. But when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in Eretz Yisrael, they only found 23 Svarim. They didn't find the Megillas Esther. So the archaeologists were not sure how come in that collection there was no Megillas Esther. Is it that in that community they followed the opinion that Megillas Esther is not part of Tanakh? You have to read Megillas Esther from a klap, but officially it's not part of Kisvei. Kisvei HaKadosh only have 23 Svarim. Or maybe Megillas Esther was out on loan and they didn't bring it back. But really, that community also followed the opinion that the 24 Svarim. So we pass on the halacha that Megillas Esther is part of the Tanakh, but not 100%. The Gemara says, Nikris Sefer, the Nikris Igeris. On the one hand, it's a Sefer, one of the 24 Svarim Tanakh. On the other hand, the whole theme of the Yontif was that they were Mekabel HaTorah Shebaal Peh again. At Har Sinai, they only wanted to be Mekabel HaTorah Shebichsav. They said, Nasa V'Nishma B'Rotzen and Torah Shebichsav. They didn't want to be Mekabel HaTorah Shebaal Peh. Or the Kiblu, the Me'ach HaShveirish, they're Mekabel HaTorah Shebaal Peh. So really, the Megillah says there should really be Torah Shebaal Peh. The whole celebration of the Yontif is that they made a new Kabbalah HaTorah Shebaal Peh. So that's why there was one opinion that Megillah says is not part of the Tanakh. So even though we pass and it is, but it's halfway in and halfway out. Nikris Sefer and Nikris Igeris. So to demonstrate that, so there's a widespread meaning mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch that the Baal Korah, who's learning for the whole shul, shouldn't hold the Megillah in front of him like a Sefer Torah when you learn Kriyas HaTorah, or like when you learn Novi from a cloth, so you have it in front of you. He should fold up. He folds up the whole Megillah Sester. The meaning is only for the Baal Korah. The listeners in shul don't have that meaning that they fold it up. They keep the Megillah in front of them like a regular Novi, like a regular Sefer from Tanakh. So the Gemara says, one of the dinim that Megillah Esther is halfway in and halfway out of Tisvei HaKodesh, Nivgah Sefer Nikus Igeris, is that even though in a Sefer Torah Shechos Oysachas Psula, the Rambam quotes that din. It never says that in the Gemara. The Gemara in Gittin says that Vetosh Chosse Yuria Achas. The Yuria is from the stitches to the stitches. From the stitches to the stitches, you can have 4, 5, 6 columns. You have quite a few Amudim in the Sefer Torah. That's all it says in the Gemara. I have a Sefer Torah and it's missing a Yuria Achas in Chumash Bamidbar and Chumash Dvarim. So you're not allowed to lane. You have to lane from a Sefer Torah. That's not Chosse Yuria Achas. I'm learning Parshas Vayikra this Shabbat. Vayikra, everything is there. But it's missing a Yiriyah of somewhere in Dvarim, so you can't learn from that. But the Zohar says like that. We don't know how did the Rambam have that. The Rambam has a few dinim that the only source that we know is the Zohar. But we know this, the Rambam didn't have access to the Zohar. So it was only discovered during the lifetime of the Ramban, which was way later. So that's, we're not sure exactly. But the Rambam writes, so if it does Shachosu Isachas, is Psula. So here by Megillah Esther, if 51% of the Megillah is written, 49% is erased, or 49% the Sefer forgot to write it in the Sefer Torah, that's a special Kula by Megillah Esther with Mako. It's a little unclear in the Gemara, so the Vachik wasn't sure. Would that be the din, let's say you're learning the Haftarah from a cloth? So the Balkari has to prepare that he should know the Trop, and he should know the Nekudis. So what if you have a Navi, let's say the Haftarah is from Yeshaya, or a Haftarah is from Shmuel, or a Shoftim or something, and it's missing a word. So is the din by all the Kiska Kodesh, if 51% is written, it's acceptable? The exception to the rule is the Sefer Torah, because by Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of Chumash Devarim, by Dikachalas Moshe Lichtav, it's called Divrei HaTorah Zos Atumam. When Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing everything in the Sefer Torah till the very end, then he gave it to the Levian. No, say Aram Beris Hashem. He said the Santa Moshe, but Aram Beris Hashem. Oh, Yeshem B'chol Yeid. That you should have the Sefer Torah either in the Oran Abris or on the shelf outside. The Gemara has two interpretations. Where did they put the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote? So it's questionable whether this din of Nichtav Rubai is a kula only in Megillas Esther, and in the all the other 23 Svarim of the Tanakh would not be acceptable or have the din of Sefer Torah, Shechas Reisachas is psula, or do you say, no, Sefer Torah is the exception to the rule that Chas Reisachas is psula, maybe all the other Nevi'im Maksuvim have the same din. So that's very questionable. There's a Tshuvas HaRitva, Masada Rav Kook printed from a Ksavya, Tshuvas HaRitva. There's a Tshuvas HaRitva raises the issue, and there's a Stira Minei Vei. On one line, he sounds like he says it's only a kula Nichtav Rubo, 51% is there, and 49% in the Megillah is missing. So one place he says, because Nikra Sefer, Nikra Sigeris, that's why you make all. It doesn't have the full status of Torah Shebichsav, of Tanakh. And the other line in the same tshuva, he writes, not so. He writes that that's the din by all Kisvei HaKadosh, except for Chumash, Chumash HaChasar HaSachas is Psula. But I'll call upon him, that's the din by Megillah Esther. If 51% is still there, and 49% is missing, so you say, Ruba Kukula, you can learn the Megillah from L'chatchilish, you learn the Megillah from a full Megillah that has no letters missing. But if you get stuck, so Ruba Kukula is good. So the Rishonim asked Kakasha, why do you have to have the whole Megillah written from the beginning to the end? If you only have to read from a certain point on, there were Tanoim held like that, we possibly have to learn the whole Megillah, Hachikrena Kula. But there were opinions in the days of the Tanoim that you don't have to read all. So why do you need everything written? The part that's missing from the beginning is less than 50%. You can have 49% missing. So what does it bother you if you only have from Ishi Yudi Haibu Shushan Abira, Abalailahu Nardosh Nasa Melech, everything that's missing is a part of the 49% that can be missing? All the Rishonim asked that question. So Shulchan Aruch, they quote the both answers, that either if you're missing Inyan Shalem, that's not acceptable. You could be missing a word here, a word there. But if you're missing a whole theme, that's not acceptable. Or B'tchilasa B'sofo, that's worse. So they quote the both formers. You shouldn't be missing an Inyan Shalem. You shouldn't be missing that B'tchilasa, not B'sofo. So what sometimes happens is what the Mishnah Berurah describes as follows. In the Bir Halacha, someone comes in to Mikra Megillah half a minute late, and the Balkore already said the three brachas, and he's saying, but the person wants to be out in Mikra Megillah with brachas. Doesn't want to be mitzvah without brachas. So he grabs a chumash, and he says, quickly, the three brachas, on Mikra Megillah, shasa nisam shachiyano, and then he starts reading the first two psukim from the chumash, and he catches up to the Balkore. The Balkore is already by the third pasuk. So the one who came in a half a minute late says the three brachas, and then he reads the first two psukim from a printed chumash, which is not the mitoch haksav, that's balpeh. And then he's going to start listening to the balkar from the third pasukan. So Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlekes achrayim. Is that acceptable on that? When you say tchiloso, if tchiloso is missing, it's possible, is that a din in the chefza of the Megillah? If the beginning chilosa or sofa is missing, the Megillah is not acceptable. But here, the Megillah that they're learning from is acceptable. There's everything written there. Just I said the first two psukim from a printed chumash. So does that pose a problem or not? The Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlekes achrayim about that. We once had a machlekes in the yeshiva that happened once on Purim. None of us knew the Mishnah Berurah at that time. None of us. We had learned Shulchan Aruch, but we never learned the Mishnah Berurah. Then my wife had a baby 2 days before Purim. So I took a Mishnah Berurah with me to the hospital, and I was waiting till the baby was born. So I ran through the whole Mishnah Berurah. So then I came across it. I thought that it is kosher. I thought the pasht this is that din, chiloso, or sofa, is missing. It's no good. That's if it's missing in the chefts of the Megillah. But the Megillah that the Balkar is learning from is perfect. I happen to say the first two looking from a printed chumash, but that's okay, as long as 51% I heard from a kosher Megillah, 49% I heard from Baal Peh. I said it from a printed chumash then, so I thought it was good. Rabbi Lichtenstein thought that that should be no good. He thought, like the other opinion, that should not be acceptable. The Gemara says in the beginning of Brachas, the Gemara says the Ikar reward that a person gets for fasting on a Tainis, Agra the Tanesa, the reward for fasting, is Tzidkisa. You get reward for the Tzedakah that you give. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should give at least, you should give a small, at least the amount of money that you save by not eating breakfast and lunch. You're just going to eat supper after the Tainis has to resolve it. So you're saving a few dollars from breakfast and lunch, so you should at least donate that amount of money. So during the days of the Gaonim, they had the yeshivas in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, and they were raising money for yeshivas. It's always an issue. You have to slap money from the Balabatim, and every year you come and you ask them for money. They keep on pestering everybody for money. So the Gaonim Eretz Yisrael came up with a new idea. We should introduce a Zecher L'Machzus HaShekel. The Mishnah says, Mishkolim Be'echad Be'odar, Mashmim Al HaShkolim. The new korbanos have to be purchased by machzor shekel money. And every year, lechatchila, you have to, the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash begins from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you have to purchase the new korbanos sibah with the new machzor shekel money. B'di'eved, if you bought the korbanos sibah to meet him himself from the leftover money from last year, b'di'eved, it would be good. Because sof kol sof, you did purchase the korbanos sibah from the Machzor HaShekel money, but l'chatchila, you buy it from the new Machzor HaShekel money. So Shloshi Yom Kodem HaChag, there's a Machlokes HaTanoim. Is it Shloshi Yom Kodem HaChag, Shonam Doshim Vilchos HaChag, or is it Shnei Shavuos, or is it 2 weeks before? So we passed from Shloshi Yom Kodem. So since Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the beginning of the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash, so Be'echad Be'odar is Shloshi Yom Kodem, it's not only a Din HaChag, whenever there's a mitzvah that's not observed weekly, it's observed annually. Once in a long while, you observe that din. So 30 days before, you have to already start thinking, let's say, Pesach. You have to start thinking, on Purim, where am I going to eat the Seder? So I happen to know, I have a son who lives in Minneapolis. I'm going to go to Minneapolis for Yom Tov Shein. So I know. And 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Elul, you have to think, where am I going to daven malchus? I'm going to be in the yeshiva. I know, I'm taken care of. And where am I going to eat meals? You have to plan. And then 30 days before sukkahs, you have to plan which sukkah. Where are you going to put a sukkah? In the backyard, in the front yard, by the children? You're going to be out of town. You have to make up your mind. You have to start preparing 30 days in advance. So shloshim yom before the mitzvah, machzor shekel, becomes binding, that's echad b'adar. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to announce, they used to learn Parsha Shkolim, everybody should start getting ready to bring the Machzor Shekel in, so they'll be able to purchase the new Korban Sibur for the new Machzor Shekel money. So the Goyim Eretz Yisrael came up with this bright idea, they should have a Zecher LaMachzor Shekel. We don't have any Beis HaMikdash today, so no one's giving any Machzor Shekel. So they should make a Zecher LaMachzor Shekel. And this was a new fundraising gimmick that they never had before. So the Goni Bovel were very upset about this because the Gemara says, You're not allowed to designate flesh for Pesach in advance of Yom Tov and say, even if the flesh is already geschochten. If the animal is alive, for sure not. You're going to say, this is other pischi, this is for my, sounds like for my Korban Pesach. If it's a Korban Pesach, then you can't shecht the Chutz LaMikdash. We can't go to the Beis HaMikdash and shecht it now. There's a mosque over there, and the Arabs won't let you shecht the Korban Pesach. Every year they have Jews who want to bring Korban Pesach. The Israeli government doesn't want to have trouble, so they don't let them. So, just like the Gemara says, you're not allowed to say, Bus is there le Pesach, because it sounds like it's for the Korban Pesach, and people will think that the fellow's eating kochim bachutz. So too, you shouldn't say this money is for Machsa Shekel. Machsa Shekel is Hegdish, and Hegdish it's Me'ila. If you're going to use it to support the yeshiva, so then it'll be a violation of Moel Behegdish. So the Goni Eretz, the Goni Bovel were very upset. They said that's not a smart idea, because a lot of people will actually think they're being Magdish Machsa Shekel, and then they'll be using it to support the yeshiva, but that'll be a violation of Me'ila Behegdish. So the Goni Eretz said, don't worry, we have a Yerushalmi on Shkolim. We don't have any Bavli, we have a Yerushalmi. So the Mishnah has a Machlokes Hatanoim. What's the din if a person is Mafrish Bikurim is Banazeh? So the first Tana says the Bikurim is Chal, and you can't be Yotze in the midst of Bikurim, because you have to take it into the Azorah, you have to be Tohar. You have to be able to take it into the Azorah and put it in a basket and put it on the floor. Anocha is Ma'akev. Anocha on the floor, putting the basket with the floor on the floor in the Azorah is ma'akev, and we can't go into the Azorah, everybody's stomach. So the Mishnah says, you better not be mafrish, bikurim is manazeh, it'll just be a michshol. It'll just become kedushas bikurim, and you won't be able to eat it. Then the Mishnah quotes the Tana, Reb Shimon disagrees, and he holds that the bikurim is not chal. Yishalmi says, how does the Tana, Reb Shimon, how does he know that? Because the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, Reish bikurad moscha tali beis Hashem alakach bizman dika bayis. Zman Baleka Bais, if it's not based on Migdash, the Bikurim is just not Chal. Then Yerushalmi says, and we paskin like that Tana, like the minority opinion, like Reb Shimon, that Bikurim is not Chal. And not only do we paskin, then the next line, the very last line in the Yerushalmi and Shkolim, the very last line is, not only do we paskin like Reb Shimon regarding Bikurim, that's in the Mishnah, we even paskin regarding Machsa Shekel also. If you mafrish Machsa Shekel, this man is there, it's simply not chal. The Hegdish is not chal. So that's what the Goyne Yeretzel said, that we follow that Yerushalmi. They had the tradition of the Yerushalmi on Shkolim, that there's no problem of Machsa Shekel, this man is there. So the Goyne Yeretzel didn't know what to say. They said in Kabbalah, he in the Kabbalah, if you have such a tradition, okay, but we never heard of it. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Maharil, when they have the plate for the Machsa Shekel that you're making, so you should write, you shouldn't write Machsa Shekel, you write Zecher the Machsa Shekel. You should write in big letters Zecher, so no one should think that it's really Machsa Shekel, it's only a Zecher to the Machsa Shekel. Yeah, then the Ramos says that the minig is that you give three times Machsa Shekel, because it says three times the word Truma in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, and you should give whatever is the matbeah hayotze b'osa medina. In America, it's a dollar. So you should give three times a half a dollar. Where do they get that from? You should figure out how much is machza shekel? How much is pidyon aben? Pidyon aben is 96 grams of pure silver. That's what the Chazon Ish says. They quote from Nachsam Sefer, he held something like 72 grams, way less. But the Chazon Ish, his opinion has been accepted in recent years. Basically, it's 96 grams of pure silver is 5 shkolim. So if you divide that by one-tenth of that, it's going to be a machsa shekel. So if you have 9.6 grams, instead of 96 grams, you divide by 10, the 9.6 grams of pure silver, however much that sells for on the market, that's machsa shekel. So why do you give a half a dollar? And then you say, so the word truma appears three times, so you give three times a half a dollar. Where'd they get this idea? You should give a matbeah hayotze b'osa medina. What they used to give in Europe, in Russia, they used to give a ruble, or in Britain, they used to give a pound. Why do you give the matbeah hayotze b'osa medina? Give 9.6 grams of pure silver, right? So that's based on the Rambam. The Rambam points out that in the beginning of Baisheni period, it says in the Tanakh that they gave Darkona Shel Zohav. Instead of giving Machzor Shekel, they gave gigantic, extremely expensive golden coins, Darkona Shel Zohav. What was that all about? You only have to give Machzor Shekel, 9.6 grams of pure silver. Why are they giving so much expensive stuff? So the Rambam says, that was the Matbea HaYotze Ba'osa Medina. That's a dilma de rabbonon. Dilma not Torah, you give machzor shekel, but de rabbonon you have to if the matbea hayosef, if the half a dollar will be more than 9.6 grams of pure silver, so then you should give the larger amount. The Rambam says it benegeh to machzor shekel. The Chayyodim talks about pidyon aben. So he shows there's a Tosfos in Kiddushin that says benegeh to pidyon aben. You should give five shkolim, that's 9.6 grams of pure silver, the value of so much silver. So that's the minimum. Well, let's say if you give $5, that'll be more than 96 grams of pure silver, then you should really give $5. If you give five rubles, the 5 rubles are more than 96 grams of pure silver, then you should give more. So the Rambam has the Benekei, the Rambam interpreted the Psukim in Ezra Nehemiah like that they gave Darkona Shel Zohav because that was the Matbea HaYosef Ba'osa Medina. The Chayyadin quotes the Tosfos in Kiddushin that the same is true about Pidyon Aben. If the Matbea HaYosef Ba'osa Medina, giving $5 will be worth more than the 96 grams of pure silver, you have to give that. So that's where their practice came from, that you give machzor shekel based on what the matbea is, that's oseh ba'osa Medina. The Gemara raises an issue, how come on Chanukah we recite Hallel and on Purim we don't recite Hallel? So the Gemara gives three different answers. So one answer the Gemara gives is Kriyas Zu Halelo. When you read the Megillah, you are not saying explicitly Hallel, but you're just telling a story, you're reading the story, but implicitly you're implying that you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chidah lived in the 1700s before all the Me'iris were printed. And he used to travel around all of Europe raising money for the Jewish communities in Eretz Yisrael. He was a mishulach for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And whenever he would come to a community where there was a royal library, he would always ask permission to look in the library and see if they had any valuable svarim. And he would always copy things over from the Me'iris. So he was the one who brought to our attention this Me'iri, that the Me'iri thinks we passed on that answer, that the reason why we don't recite Halal on Purim is because Kriyas Zu Halelo. When you read the Megillah, implicitly it includes Halal. So if you don't have a Megillah, then you have to say Halal. That's what the Me'iri says. The Netziv is not happy about that Me'iri. So he thinks he gives a whole explanation in his commentary on the Shultis. So he says that he wants to disagree with the Chasam Sofer. So if you want to disagree, you have to be respectful. You have to disagree respectfully. So he writes, Hagoyin v'hatzadik ha-Chasam Sofer. Usually when he quotes the Chasam Sofer, he doesn't call him Hagoyin v'hatzadik. But he was going to disagree. Hagoyin v'hatzadik ha-Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva that reciting of Halel on Chanukah is a din deraisa, because the Gemara Megillah learns it out of Kal v'chomer from Oz Yashir. The Chumash records that Bnei Yisrael recited Oz Yoshim on the occasion of Kriyas Yam Suf, and at that time they weren't throwing Kolabin Hayila Hadiyora Tashlichu. They stopped killing the Jewish people, so it wasn't Mimavis Lachaim, it was just Me'avdus Lacheris. The Jews were slaves in Egypt, and they went free. So Ma Me'avdus Lacheris, the Chumash records the fact that they recited Oz Yoshir, implying that's the right thing to do. That's the correct practice, to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he gives you a Yeshua. So Mimavis l'chaim l'kol shkein. On the occasion of Nes Chanukah and Nes Purim, that we're killing Jews, that we're going to kill Jews right and left at that time. So we should certainly recite Hal. So the Chasam Sefer says, Kal v'chaim is one of the Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Ben. So since the Gemara established that you should really recite Halal based on a Kal v'chaim, that's a din deraisa. So the Nesiv says, Hagoyim HaTzadik HaChasam Sefer writes like that, that Halal HaChanik is deraisa. He says, with all the respect, it's against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara, the Mishnah, beginning of the second Perek in Brochas, talks about being mafsik of the Hakovah of the Ayira. I came to shul on time, and I'm davening. I'm in the middle of Kriyas Shema, either bein aprokim between one paragraph and the other, or b'emtza perik, one or the other. And someone comes to shul late, and he's not so he doesn't know all the dinim of talking in the middle of davening, and he says good Shabbos to me. He says good morning to me. So if I'm not going to answer him, he's going to feel insulted. So the Mishnah has that under such circumstances, you're permitted to be mafsik in the middle of Kriyas Shema. You say good morning to him, or good Shabbos, Shalom Aleichem, whatever it happens to be. You learn out from a pasuk that it's mutter to be mafsik. So the Gemara has a shaila: is it permissible to be mafsik in the middle of Halal on Chanukah? Should I say it should be a kal v'chaimer? Vadach kriyashma is a din deraisa, and you're permitted to be mafsik. Halal on Chanukah is only the rabbonis of Fishur. You're permitted to be mafsik b'pnei ayira. Or maybe I should say, no, even though on the one hand, Halal Chanukah is the Rabbanon, so it's less Chomer and not as Chomer as Kriyashma, but since the whole purpose of the Halal is Bisumi Nisa, then maybe it's more Chomer. Maybe if I'll be Mafsik from Tao Kovim Tao Yira, I'll ruin the whole element of Bisumi Nisa that's supposed to be involved in the reciting of the Halal. So it's a Beferish Gemara, the Halal Chanukah is only the Rabbanon. So that's what the Nitziv explains in his commentary on the Shiltas. He wrote the Hanan Einfal. He wrote a commentary on the Shiltas when he was a teenager. So he writes, Halal b'shas hanes, halal b'shas hayushua. When they said, Oz Yoshua, that was b'shas kriyas yamsu. That's the din deraisa. Halal every year in commemoration of the Nes Chanukah. Halal when the Hashmonaim were victorious in battle and they won the war. That halal b'shas hayushua was deraisa. But then the halal that we recite every year in commemoration of the Nes on Chanukah, that's only the Rabbanah. So the Netziv says he doesn't agree with the Meiri. The Meiri sheet has not been accepted that whoever doesn't have a Megillah should have to say the halal. He said the Gemara is giving an explanation why the Chachamim never made a takana the Rabbanah to recite halal on Purim Zecher l'Nes. Most people usually have a Megillah. But even if he happened not to have a Megillah, they never made a takon. It's not a din deraisa zecher l'nes yimuchiv every year. On the occasion of Nes Purim, they had to say halal b'shas hanes. That was deraisa. But to say halal every year, for that you need a takon. They never made a takon because usually you have a Megillah. So that's the one explanation the Gemara gives. Then the Gemara gives another explanation. On Chanukah, it makes sense to recite Halal because Chanukah, we're celebrating a Nes that occurred in Eretz Yisrael. But Purim is a Nes that occurred in Chutz La'aretz. En Amim Halal al Nes Shebechutz La'aretz. Why? What's the difference between a Nes Shebechutz La'aretz and a Nes Shebechutz La'aretz? What's the difference? So the Maharsho has one suggestion. I think the Maharsho is in Erechin on Daf Yud. The same Gemara appears in Megillah, Daf Yud Daled, and in Erechin, the whole, all the three answers that the Gemara gives. Why is Purim different from Chanukah? On Chanukah, every day you say Halal, and Purim you don't say Halal. So the Maharsho and the Chiddush Agoda on Erechin gives the following explanation. He thinks that it only makes sense to say Halal on a Nes Nigla. So the Nes Chanukah occurred in Eretz Yisrael. That means that was a Nes Nigla. There was only enough oil to burn for one light, for one night, and the Nes occurred, and the oil burned for 8 days straight. But the Nes of Purim was a Nes Nister. A Nes of Chutzlos is going to be a Nes Nister. A Nes in Eretz is going to be a Nes Nigla. That's how the Maharsho and the Chidushi Agoda on Erech and Daf Yud, that's how he interprets this answer. In Amim Halal, Nes of Chutzlos, because Nes of Chutzlos is going to be the Teva, only a Nes in Eretz is going to be Lemaila min HaTeva. The Minchas Chinuch quotes the Maharsho, I think, but he gives a different suggestion. he thinks differently. He thinks you only recite Hallel if it's a nes that occurred to Klal Yisrael. So the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael constitute Klal Yisrael. Even if millions and millions of Jews live in Chutz Laretz, and hardly any, they're just a minyan mitzumtzum, just 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. The 10 Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael, that's Klal Yisrael, and everybody else is Yechidim. That's a Lashon HaGemara, the end of the first Perek in Tainis. Gemara says, when do you say the same Talamot and Baruch Aleinu? When do you say Shemei Tefillah? So Gemara says, when the Tzibur, when Klal Yisrael needs rain, then you say in Baruch Aleinu. When the Yochid needs rain, he's in construction, and he just poured some cement. So his purpose is, he needs it to rain. So if a Yochid needs rain, but it's not a Tzorech of Klal Yisrael, he should say the same Talamot there in Shema Kalena. He shouldn't say in Baruch Aleinu. He only say in Baruch Aleinu when the Tzibur needs the rain. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch suggests. You only say Halal on Anesha B'chutzl, Anesha B'Eretz Yisrael, because Nisim in Eretz Yisrael are Nisim for the Tzibur. The Tzibur had a Yeshua. But Anesha B'chutzl, that's Nes for Yechidim, so that's not Machayev to say Halal. Then the Gemara gives a third explanation why we don't recite Halal on Purim, because when we say Halal Avdei Hashem, V'loi Avdei, we are implying V'lo Avdei Paro. That's a medrash. Medrash says that the night of Makas Bechoris, Moshe Rabbeinu said the nevuah in advance, going to be Makas Bechoris. Ameis kol bechor be'eretz Mitzrayim, bechor paro ha'shei malkiso, ha'bechor ha'shvi ha'shei be'beis ha'bor, bechor bechor be'hema. So when Makas Bechoris occurred at midnight, Paro was so shaken up, he ran out of his palace, he ran to Moshe Rabbeinu, the medrash says, and he says, I free you, I make a declaration that I am the government. I make a declaration I'm freeing the Jewish people. And from now on, you're no longer avodim to power, you're avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halal avdei Hashem v'loi avdei power. Praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're now avodim to Him. So the Gemara says, on Chanukah, the Hashmonaim won the war, and they were no longer under the control of the government of the Yevonim. But on Purim, Akati avdei d'Achashverosh Hanan. We're still in Golus. We didn't have a Yeshua. We didn't have a Yeshua from the situation of living there in Golus. So it doesn't make sense to say Halal Avdei Hashem, implying V'loi Avdei Achashverosh. Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. Those are the three explanations that the Gemara gives why we don't recite Halal on Purim. The Dvar Avram was the last rabbi in Kovne before the war. He died in the Kovne ghetto before the Nazis had a chance to murder him. He died, the hygienic conditions were terrible, and there were a lot of epidemics going around, so many, many people died. So he has in his Chulas Hashaila, usually we say, Akot and Zalar Bashlichas. And very often people send Shalachmanas, so they send a cotton to deliver the Shalachmanas. So if you have to have a shliach, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Binyan Siyam. Binyan Siyam is the Shadus HaTshuvas Bar Yankov Etlinger. Yankov Etlinger was the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch and to Rabbi Nathan Adler, who was about the same time as Rabbi Hirsch. He was the chief, also Yekusha Rabbi, the chief rabbi of Great Britain during the First World War. So Rabbi Yankov Etlinger has a collection of tshuvas. I think the first two tshuvas were what's his name?
Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha.
Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha. Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha had the suggestion, we should just go ahead and build a Eis HaMikdash and bring Karbonis and Shai. So Tzvi Hirsch Kalisha writes, can you build a Eis HaMikdash? You have to have Kohanim Miyuchosim. We only have Kohanim Chazoke. You have to have Big Dekuna. You have to have Chelis. You have to have this. You have to have that. So he wrote a whole Sefer where he thought that he solved all the problems. So the Binyan Tzion, the first two Tshuvas in the Binyan Tzion, the Tshuvas were not printed in any chronological order, nor were they printed in the order of the Gemaras, nor in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, nor in alphabetical order. Just totally out of order. So the first two tshuvas about Binyan Tzion, about the possibility of building a Beis HaMikdash now, So that's why he called the tshuvas binyan tzion. Two halakim. The first chelik, the first two tshuvas, the first chelik are the Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. So, the Mishnah Brura quotes from the binyan tzion a sofek. If you gave the shalach manos in person, maybe you're not yotze. Maybe you're only yotze if you gave by yedei shaliach. It says of mishlach manos ish l'riyehu, since the pasuk in Megillah Sester uses the verb mishlach manos, maybe you're only yotze if you send by yedei shaliach. Remember when I was a student in yeshiva in high school, the Rebbe had learned, the Rabbi Gorelick, Zachon Lebrach, had learned in Europe in the Miri yeshiva. He learned Baravelvela Soloveitchik also. So he said in the Miri Yeshiva had tainus against the Mishnah Brura why he quoted that binyan tzion. They thought it was so outlandish. They thought it was so unreasonable that you're not yotze shalach manos if you give it a person. If you invite someone and he eats by you on Purim, he gave him the meal. He ate the meal by you. That is shalach manos. It's a chiddush. Even if you send it to his home, you're also yotze. But if you give it a person, you certainly yotze. But that's what the Dvar Avraham writes. If you're going to tell me, Aswara, that Shalach Manos has to be given, you can't give it in person, then you're not working with the principle of Shalucho Shalom Kamoisai. Whenever you say Shalucho Shalom Kamoisai, means it's considered as if you did it yourself. And if you would have given it yourself, it would have been Yotze. So if you send out the Shlich, you're also Yotze. So if you're going to tell me that it's not Shlucho Shalom Kamoisa, has to be Dafkai de Shlich, so you're not working with the normal rules and regulations of Shlichas. So you can't say Akot Nazalah Bar Shlichas. Akot Nazalah Bar Shlichas, when you want it to be Kamoso, what he Asiyasa is Kasiyasi, considered as if I gave it directly. But here, if you give it directly, the Binyan Tzion thinks that you're not Yotze. So it's a Din that should be Ayide Acherim. So maybe you're not my cotton. Maybe a cotton would also be good, as long as you didn't give it to Shalach Manos in person. Or even if you hold that you do need, even if you could be Yotze by giving it in person. Whatever you give Ayide cotton, so it's considered as if it happened by itself. So what's wrong with it happened by itself? The fellow is eating, I sent, somehow I succeeded in delivering food to his home. I enable him to participate in my Sudas Purim. Why should it be no good? That's what Rav Ram thinks. He thinks that it's not a problem. He sent Ayidei Kotten, it's not a problem that a Kotten is a Larva Shlichas. What is an interesting Shaila, I think Rav Chaim Meiser has a Shaila. The Gemara in Erevin has a question. I want to go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos, so I want to make an Eruv b'tchum. So yes, someone do me a favor, walk all over there in that direction and make an Eruv b'tchum for me. He doesn't have a cell phone in the days of the Gemara, so he can't call me back to tell me that he took care of it. But I asked him, he's basically a reliable person. So if he's a shlemiel and I know he's never reliable, then you can't say chazok ha-shlichos ha-shlichusa. I know he's not reliable. And if he's extremely reliable and he never lets me down, so I certainly say chazok ha-shlichos ha-shlichusai, it's a rubid leisa kaman that he took care of it. The question, a normal person, he's not that he's over punctilious, not that he's, we always know he always takes care of everything, extremely reliable, and not that he's a shlemazel or a shlemiel, a normal person. They have the right to rely on chazok ha-shlichos ha-shlichus or not. So the Gemara comes to the maskana, it depends. To go chutz l'tchum is only a din derabbanan. So by din of derabbanan, you have a right to rely on chazok ha-shlichos ha-shlichusa. But to rely, let's say, I ask him, please be mafish shumas and maisvis, they'll be able to eat all the food on Shabbos. I don't know whether he was mafish or not. So if you're dealing with tevel deraisa, dogm tirish v'yitzer, it's tevel deraisa, so then we would not rely on chazok ha-shlichos ha-shlichusa. Tosfos writes on that Gemara, in that Torah you do say chazok ha-shlichos ha-shlichusa, even by din of deraisa, it's a chumra mederabbanan, not to rely on chazok ha-shlichos ha-shlichusa when you're dealing with a din deraisa. So that was the shaila that Rav Chaim Meiser was dealing with. Can you rely on chazok ha-shlichos ha-shlichusa that the person delivered the shalach manos? I ask someone, please deliver. So what happens sometimes is I ask someone to deliver shalach manos, and then the person who receives it calls me up on the phone and says, what a beautiful shalach manos. Thank you very much. Okay, so I know that it was delivered. Or they say, please give back, please deliver back Shalachmanis to the one who brought to me. So he brings me back Shalachmanis from the other person. So also, so I know that it was delivered. But the shaila is, what if I never find out whether it was delivered or not? Should I say that since Shalachmanis is in Megillah Esther, it's like Dibri Kabbalah, Dibri Kabbalah ki Dibri Torah Damyon, so I have to treat it like a din deraisa, and by dinim deraisa you don't rely on Chazak al Shlichos or Shlichusa? Or they say no. There's only a chumer with the rabbanon not to. So maybe they never introduced the chumer with the rabbanon by shalach manas. So that's a discussion. Abchaim Moshe discusses all the balavatim request of the rabbi to sell the chometz for them. So that's a shaila bal yiroa deraisa. So all 100 balavatim should call up the rabbi in Erev Pesach in the morning. They ask him, did you sell the chometz for me? How come we all rely on Chazok HaShlichos HaShlichusai by the Mechiras Chametz? Nobody calls the rabbi to ask, did you take care of the Mechiras Chametz? So he suggests maybe the minig always used to be that they gave the rabbi a few dollars to sell the Chametz. So if the rabbi is not going to sell the Chametz, he's going to have to give back the money to each one of the families. So that makes it that the rabbi will be extra cautious. So the Gemara says, whenever the shliach whom you appointed is extra cautious, then for sure you say chazok to shliachos or shlichus. So the Rav Chaim Moshe suggests maybe that's why the minhag developed like that, that they give the rabbi a few extra dollars to make it that he's extra cautious, so no one has to call the rabbi to ask, did he please take care of it?
Rav Schechter, what about sending mishloach manos through a goy? Let's say, you know, through Uber Eats or one of these, you know, where the goy delivers from a restaurant.
Yeah, the pashta says that it is good. Just like if he sent with a cotton, a cotton's a labra shlichus, but at the end of the day, it arrived there. So if you send with a goy also, you don't need that it should be asiyosi. You don't need, if I invite someone to eat in my home and he comes and he eats, I don't have to give him something. I put the food on the table and he takes whatever he wants. So I was yotzei shalach manos by inviting someone to eat by me. Pashta says that it should be good, even if the one who delivers is a goy, one who delivers is a cotton. Sof kon sof, I took care of it. Yeah. Then in Shulchan Aruch it says, there are two minhagim whether people go to work on Purim or not. Malkam shenoga lasas malacha, oisim malkam shenoga shalo lasas malacha. So the Mishnah Brura has an interesting comment in the Bir Halacha. That's where Rav Soloveitchik said once on his own. A group of boys sent Rav Soloveitchik Shalach Manos before Purim. So he wrote them a thank you note and he sent it in the mail. And then at the end of the thank you note, he writes that he's writing the thank you note Leil Purim. And even though on Purim, the minig is you don't do malacha, that's only Purim in the daytime. But Purim at nighttime, there's no Issa Malacha. That's what the Mishnah Brura and the Bir Halacha quotes that from the Pri Megadim, that the minig not to do Malacha on Purim is not that it's an Issa Malacha. Sometimes there's an Issa Malacha because if you're going to do Malacha, that'll be a bitl of Simchas Purim, of Simcha. That's how the Keren Ora writes. Rav Soloveitchik quoted the Keren Ora. Keren Ora was the younger brother of the Mishkan and Yankiv. So the Keren Ora on Maseches Moed Katan. So the first topic that he discusses on the opening Mishnah Moed Katan is Malachas Chalamoid. Is it the Raisa de Rabbanan? Machlokes in Tosfos, the end of the first parak on Avodah Zarah, where the Issa to do Malach Chalamoid is the Raisa de Rabbanan, and Machlokes Halacha Lemaisa between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Chaber writes that Malachas Chalamoid is only the Rabbanan, and the Ramah Paschim like the Rishonim in Tosfos that Malachas Chalamoid is the Raisa. What's an Afkamina Halacha Lemaisa? So Rabbi Kivega points out there, the first Rabbi Kivega on Hilchos Chalamoid, that the Gemara has an advice of the Epshita, Sveka the Dina, on Malachas Chalamoid. They say it's Teku the Rabbanon the Kula, or is it a Teku the Raisa the Chumer? So the Shitasim, the Mechaba and the Ramah argue about that. Mechaba holds Malachas Chalamoid is only the Rabbanon, so the Gemara has a Teku, an advice of the Epshita on a certain activity, whether it's also a Mutan Chalamoid, the Mechaba Paskin's Mutter. And the Ramah, the Shitasa holds that Malachas Chalmoid is the Raisa. So that's why when the Gemara has an Abayit Leib Shita, the Ramah, the Shitasa paskins, it's a take with the Raisa, the Chumr. He's Machmer on it. So here, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Pirmagodim has the same thing. The Issa, not to the Isra against doing Malacha on Purim is not a Nisa Malacha. If you're going to do Malacha, it's going to be, if you're going to go to work, it's a Bitul of Simchas Purim. So the Mitzvah of Simchas Purim al Pipashtis is only in the daytime. All the Mitzvahs are only in the daytime. Shalach Manas, Matanis Lavyayinim, the Suda, the Mikram Negillah, Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over, Rav Shlomo LeVilna was a dying in Vilna when they were printing the Vilna Shas. He was the Magia. He was correcting the galleys for the Vilna Shas. He knew Gemara Rashi and Tosafot by heart, word for word. And I remember when I was a student in high school, there used to be a Rabbi Markelis who used to teach Gemara in the yeshiva. He was a grandson of Rav Shlomo LeVilna. So that was the family tradition. The family said that Rav Shlomo LeVilna was the Magia LeVilna Shas from memory. He just read the galleys, the Gemara Rashi Tosafot, and it said what it was supposed to say. So that was it. He knew every word in the Shas, every word in Gemara Rashi Tosafot. Rav Shlomo LeVilna has this chiddush that the Mikra Megillah Balayla was only instituted Bizman HaAmoraim. Bizman HaTanaim, they only had Mikra Megillah Bayom. Zola Mitzvahs Hayom on Purim only applied by Yom. None of them applied by Laila. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes and the Bir Alachi quotes from the Prima Gadol, that the Pashtus is that the minig to not to do Malacha on Purim only applies by Yom when there's a Mitzvah of Simcha. So if you're going to do Malacha, that's going to be a bit of the Simcha's Purim. But Beleil Purim, when none of the Mitzvahs apply, so then there's no issue to do Malacha. So Rav Soloveitchik wrote a thank you note on Leil Purim, and he wrote at the end of the note, after he signed it, he wrote, he's allowed to write the note because it's Leil Purim, and the Issa Malach is only by Yom. It doesn't apply by Laila. Okay, we should all have a Freilich, and we should have happy hearts on Purim. It's difficult to celebrate too much this year. That's terrible. But we have to continue. We should take a fast on Tainis Esther, and say the slichas and say the avina malken. We have to daven a lot. Usually, Tainis Esther is a Tainis kal, more kal than the others, less chomer than Asar B'Tavis and Shavas B'Tamid. This year, we should talk a fest on Tainis Esther and make it more chomer. It's a Tainis B'Yes Tzora. I have to pray to Rabban Shalom that the work be successful.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.